Okay, God.
Let us pray. Breathe in me, Holy Spirit, that I may know what is holy. Move me, Holy Spirit, that I may do what is holy. Attract me, Holy Spirit, that I may love what is holy. Strengthen me, Holy Spirit, that I may guard what is holy. And guard me, Holy Spirit, that I may keep what is holy. In the name of the Trinity, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Staying in place and sheltering in faith is what we have been doing for the past couple of months. It continues to be a time of heightened emotions and a perfect breeding ground for super anxiety and fear. As a Christian community, COVID-19 has forced us out of our comfort zones into a time where the structures of the church, the institutional safeguards of the old order, are being transformed. Transformation is occurring even in the midst of a pandemic and over which we have little control. In another time of great upheaval, the French Revolution, Charles Dickens writes, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the season of hope, it was the winter of despair. We had everything before us, we had nothing before us." And that's from the opening lines of A Tale of Two Cities. 2,000 years ago, during a tumultuous time, 121st century believers were staying in place and sheltering in faith, experiencing feelings of being alone and afraid, feelings of doubt and worry. Like us, they had no idea that change was on the way, that the life they had previously known was going to be radically altered. Although Jesus gave them some hints in Acts 1:4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." And in Luke 24:29, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." But like most of us, they really didn't understand the enormity of the promise, and they certainly had no idea that the coming of the Holy Spirit would transform and change everything. The arrival of the Comforter that day caused 3,000 people to change their hearts and look at God in a whole different way when stumbling, bumbling, foot in his mouth, Peter stood and gave him a barn burner of a sermon. They were pierced to the heart and said, "Brethren, what shall we do?" But Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." No longer were these disciples confused, frightened, bewildered, or timid. Before, these men and women were followers of Jesus. After Pentecost, they became one as Jesus and his Father were one. They were never called followers again. They were called disciples. The Spirit came as wind and fire, forces of nature that all of us have seen, felt, and experienced. It came suddenly from heaven, a sound like the rush of violent wind, and it filled the entire house. Tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit came as the sound of a violent wind, like the spring winds that shake the dirt off the roots of the trees. The winds were evidence of God's supremacy and authority and shook the disciples. Showered on the men and women gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem was the majesty, splendor, and the sovereignty of the Spirit. There was no distance, no trembling, nor fear. Instead, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, filled every person. Something similar had happened to the ancient Israelites. In a reading from Numbers, the Holy Spirit settled on only 70 people, a select few. The Holy Spirit came and went, and the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. Then he gave the 70 elders the same Spirit that was upon Moses, and when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but this never happened again. Numbers 11:25. On Pentecost, the Spirit of God in wind and fire came down on many, symbolizing God's presence available to all who believe. It woke them up and got their attention, and they were now fully alive. The external had become internal. That what appeared to be tongues of fire rested on each one of them. Fire represents purity, for it burns away everything and anything. In the hearts of the disciple, it burnt away their previous selves. After Pentecost, they went from believing in God to believing God. They moved from believing to experiencing. They moved from sensation to sanctification, and from working in their strength to working and witnessing in Christ's strength. The power of the Christian gospel was in them. They became Christians, disciples of Christ. We are not Christians because our parents were, or because we hang out with Christians, or our families have been in this church or that church for four generations. Being a Christian is not about having something that rubs off on someone. Being a Christian is not about being more religious. It is about a relationship. The coming of the Holy Spirit to dwell within means that we are now able to display holiness by our Christian witness, and this refers to our character. Character is who we are in the dark when no one is looking. The character the Holy Spirit grows in us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And God gives us various spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues, mercy, compassion, helps, prophecy. But the Holy Spirit gives us the fruit of the Spirit to develop. The gifts of the Spirit need to be accompanied by the fruit of the Spirit to get maximum results. If we want power, control, and insist on our own agenda, then the Holy Spirit is not for us. If we desire only to satisfy our own desires, then the Holy Spirit is not for us. If we only want what we want when we want it, then the Holy Spirit is not for us. The witness of holy character is how we trust others, how we treat others, how we spend our money, what are our priorities, how we trust God, how we worship God, who and what is first in our lives. The people of that first Pentecost lived their lives in a different way. The theology was not what I can get from myself. How is this going to benefit me in the here and now? They had a 3M theology. They didn't have the 3M theology, me, myself, and me again. Their theology was one of eternity, of the eternal, of heaven, of keeping their eyes off self and on Jesus. They knew the message, and they became the message. They truly became Christ's witnesses, telling people about him everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We were given the Comforter, the Helper, the Intercessor, the indwelling Spirit, so that we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. And that's from Romans 5, 3-5. They received courage and inner strength and were eyewitnesses to the saving power of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They understood more fully their purpose, what they were created for. The Holy Spirit empowered the early Christians to bear witness to Christ by sharing their love and strong faith. This anointing by the Holy Spirit also strengthened the early Christian martyrs, during the period of brutal persecution that followed. Pentecost is a chance for Christians to reflect on how we experience the Holy Spirit's presence in our own lives. Though it may not be the most prominent Christian holiday, it serves as a powerful reminder that regardless of our language or where we're from, we are united in faith, particularly in our understanding and worship of the Spirit. Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like our common spiritual ancestors, we are filled with courage, enthusiasm, and determination, and given new life and hope. We can go out into the streets and marketplaces and loudly proclaim without fear, through our lives, preaching the gospel, sometimes using words. Through the grace of baptism and confirmation, each of us has been filled with the life and power of that same Holy Spirit. Today, in our homes, parishes, and communities, schools, and places of work, we too are called to be living witnesses of Christ in and for the world. And we need not be worried or afraid of this great responsibility, for God has filled each one of us with his own Spirit. You are my servant whom I strengthen, in whom I am well pleased, for I have filled you with my spirit. Isaiah 42:1. So on this great feast of Pentecost, let us open our hearts and lives to the power of the Holy Spirit as each of us is changed with the splendor of God. Let us pray. Spirit of God, Lord and giver of life, moving between us and around like wind or water or fire, breathe into us your freshness that we may awake. Cleanse our vision that we may see more clearly. Kindle our senses that we may feel more sharply. And give us the courage to live as you would have us live. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.